All right, well, admittedly, today is going to be a unique, maybe a strange Father's Day message, but bear with me, all right? So unusual, maybe, is a way that we will describe it. So we're in this series called Brother, Sister, Friend. Maybe we could throw in father, son, daughter, whatever, but it's about relationships, and we're talking about building relationships, how to connect with people, and we're looking for ways as we try to follow Jesus, to maybe get a little bit better in the relationships that we have, because relationships are complicated. They're difficult. They're some of our greatest joys, some of our deepest pains, and a lot of confusion. So that all along the spectrum of relationships. And so we really want to dig down this summer and focus on relationships. And I want to ask you a question. What is your earliest memory of friendship? Go back in time. Maybe it doesn't have to be the earliest, but what are some early memories that you have of friendship outside of your own family? So this morning, unfortunately, I was going to fact check with my parents to see if my facts are correct, but I didn't get a chance to do that. So maybe they can correct me later. But one of my very early memories was being in line for Star Wars, the first one. Now, Star Wars came out before I was born, believe it or not, but it had been re-released, and I was with the only people that I knew, my family. I knew my family and my church, that's it. And we were at this movie, and I met this guy who was about 20 years older than me, and his name was Aleem. And Aleem was an immigrant from Pakistan, I believe. I believe he's a Muslim from Pakistan, and my parents, again, can correct me if I'm wrong about the country, because I was a little kid, like 3 or 4, but we saw Star Wars together, and for whatever reason, we became fast friends, and I think the feelings were mutual, but I was just really remember looking forward to seeing Aleem, because one of my early birthday present memories is Aleem getting me this really awesome Hot Wheels tricycle. When I was 3 or 4 or 5, somewhere in there. So we had this great relationship. So I remember Aleem. And then the other one that I remember was my first day of preschool. I was very scared, shy, didn't really know many people outside of my own family. And so I went into this preschool class of strangers, scared to death. And one kid walked up to me and he said, "Hi, my name is Daniel." For those of you who don't know, that's also my name. And he's like, "Will you be my friend?" And here I am 40-some years later, and I still remember his words to me. Oddly enough, Daniel was the only non-white kid in my preschool class. He was an Asian American. And for whatever reason, as I look back and remember these early memories of friendship, I'm struck by this verse that Luke wrote in the book of Acts, Acts 28:2. He wrote that the islanders of Malta showed us unusual kindness. So when I remember Aleem and the unlikely relationship of a person 20 years older than me from another country of a different religion and another kid, the only other kid in my class who was not white like me, and how somehow they were able to see my own discomfort in a place where I should have felt more comfort, and they showed me unusual kindness. And I will always be grateful to these people. I'll bring back Aleem a little bit later. Daniel, unfortunately, we were best friends for 2 years, and then he moved away to Colorado, and it was traumatic for me. I've never seen him since, but I'll always love him for the 2 years we had together. Last week, we talked about, or Pastor Emily talked about, Mary Magdalene, and how she was the earliest apostle. She was the first witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, to be chosen as the first one, we know that Mary had to be extremely close, a great friend of Jesus, for him to choose her. And Pastor Emily last week talked about what an honor that was, or how we should really honor Mary and the amazing example she was as a friend of Jesus. But how she remained with Jesus. She had that connection. She showed up when other people didn't. She was the one. Were you there, as Pastor Emily talked about, at the cross, at the tomb, at the resurrection? Mary is the only one. Mary Magdalene is the only one who could say yes to all those. So she remained. When things got tough, she was there with Jesus, and he chose her to be the first apostle, the first witness of the resurrection. So today, you might think, it's kind of weird here. We're talking about a woman, and it's Father's Day. And we're actually going to go to a story involving another woman. And again, if you don't like it that on Father's Day we're talking about women, I would just say a lot of times we talk about men and the women deal with it too. So guys, we can deal with this as well. All right? But this story is also, it's unusual for a Father's Day message, but I think it's great too. This story starts out with a lot of difficulty. There's a couple in the little town of Bethlehem, and times are bad. And so times are so bad in Bethlehem that this couple moves out. They go into a foreign land called Moab. And in Moab, they have a couple sons, and then their sons get married to Moabite women. And while they're in Moab, away from their home, living as immigrants there, tragedy strikes. First, the husband dies, and then the two sons died. And it's left with the woman from Bethlehem and then her two daughters who are from Moabite. Very difficult. So we're going to pick up in Ruth 1:8. And Naomi is the name of the mother of the family, the matriarch. And she says to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness." Remember that word, unusual kindness? "May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." So here Naomi is praising these two daughters-in-law. She told them to go back, not because she didn't want them around anymore, but because she knew that it was almost like a death sentence for them to stay. You see, they lived in a culture where it was very hard for women to make a living without men. So if you didn't have a husband or sons or a father around to provide, it was going to be really difficult. Not only that, Naomi was in a foreign country, and these women would have little chance if they would go back into a foreign land. They were widows. Would they be able to find a husband anyway? There's so much going against them that she just has their best interests in mind. So one of the daughters-in-law agreed with her, went back home, but then another one didn't agree. And we're going to pick up. The book is named after her, Ruth 1:16. "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.'" When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. What an incredible statement of friendship. No matter what, at great cost, at great risk to myself, I'm gonna forsake that, and I'm here with you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Talk about remaining like Mary Magdalene. Ruth did that also. She remained. She stayed during the hard times. She was willing to go into a new place where she may not be welcomed. The Israelites and the Moabites had not a good history, a history of a lot of conflict. How was she going to be received? There's no telling, but the odds are not good that it's going to turn out great. So they'd go back to Bethlehem, and remember, there's no men left. It's Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi, again, she's from Bethlehem. She's a native Israelite. Ruth is a foreigner, an immigrant, going there. So how are they going to survive? What are they going to do? So Ruth takes matters into her own hands in Ruth 2:2. "And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.'" So, I mean, what are the odds that this is really going to work? But she had to do something. She didn't have a lot of good options. This was one. She was very proactive and courageous. And she was going to do something to try to help her mother-in-law. Well, it just so happened that the guy who owned this field was named Boaz. And he had heard about what Ruth had done. And he was a man who was actually impressed. And he promised to protect Ruth. And so, and he gave her the message, "Yeah, you can come back. I'll make sure you're safe. Nobody's going to harm you." Because these people, Ruth and Naomi, were incredibly vulnerable. They could have been attacked so easily. People could take advantage of them. They were in a very vulnerable situation. And here Ruth was by herself in a place that was dominated by men. And she was basically powerless. And Boaz promised to protect her. So Ruth hears this, goes back and tells her mother-in-law the good news. God had not abandoned them. There was hope. It seemed like God was preparing the way and bringing protection. And this was Naomi's reaction to hearing about Boaz, the protector, in Ruth 2:20. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness." There's that word again. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Naomi once again has hope because of kindness. Ruth had unusual kindness. Boaz noticed it, and they were birds of a feather. They were two kind people who recognized each other, and kindness was giving them hope again. Not only that, Boaz was in protection to do something more permanently to redeem their situation. He wasn't first in line, but so they came up with a plan. And the plan was for Ruth to let him know that she was willing to marry him. So once she did this, let's skip forward in the story to Ruth 3:10. She lets him know, "Hey, if you want me, I would love to marry you. Take care of Naomi's family." Ruth 3:10, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than you showed earlier. You've not run after younger men, whether rich or poor." Here we go with kindness. Boaz sees her kindness, and he is very impressed by it. Now, the story of Ruth starts with a very painful beginning. There's famine. There's leaving your own country. There's death. There's dire circumstances and vulnerability. But it ends in a very happy way. And we're just fast-forwarding through Ruth, but we're going to go fast-forward to the end, Ruth 4:13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth.'" Now, I told you this would be an unusual Father's Day message, did I not? Well, I'll come through on this promise. Because this message was written 2 weeks ago, and a lot has changed. So I don't even know for sure where it's going, but let's see. Shall we? Does that sound fun? See what happens in this adventure. This ending here, though, one of the things that I want to stop and point out is this is not the story of Ruth, a damsel in distress who was saved by a man who came as Prince Charming, riding in on a white horse and saving her. Ruth is the hero of the story. Ruth has showed nothing but courage. Boaz, yes, he came along and helped, but it is not, again, a story of Ruth being in distress and being saved by a guy. Here we see Ruth is better than 10 sons. Ruth was a brave young woman who showed unusual kindness. She is a great demonstration of different types of relationships. She had intergenerational relationships. Naomi was her mother-in-law. She was older than her. She was a different culture. She had cross-cultural relationships. She was in Moabite, went to Israel, and connected with people from different cultures. And she didn't form these relationships just because she was a gold digger or something like that. When she left home, she had really nothing to gain. She left security. She left her safety net. She took great risk and walked into incredibly scary vulnerability. Ruth is one of the most Christ-like examples that we have in the Hebrew Scriptures. A few days ago, my family went to the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. And one of the things I think especially that I was excited about, because this sermon was coming out, was that as we walked through the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible area, Ruth had her own room dedicated to her and the importance of Ruth and her story. I don't think Solomon had that or David, but Ruth had her own room because this story is so important to us. Her attitude, again, was just so Christ-like. Ruth compares so much with Jesus. The Apostle Paul talked about following Jesus like this in Philippians 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Do you see how Ruth reflected that in the way that she lived? You see how Christ-like she is? Not only that, but the story gets even better. Listen to this, the ending, Ruth 4:16. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, just a little bit of Bible history here. This is really cool because Ruth is the great-grandmother of David. And if you haven't heard of David, you probably have heard of David. David's the guy who defeated Goliath the giant and was the king. She was the great-grandmother of David, and she was the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus, who was born in that little town of Bethlehem 1,000 years later or so. I wonder if that great-great-great-grandson Jesus, part of him was following that example of that great-great-great-great-grandmother when he laid down his life, when he left the security and laid down his life on the cross for us, when he laid down his life for his friends. There was a part of him that was following that incredible example of his grandmother. And it was the example of kindness. Kindness is very important. You know, kindness is one of the fruit. It's considered fruit of the Spirit. And when Paul describes what love is patient and love is kind. It's at the beginning of it. Paul also said that what brings us to repentance, actually turning to God, is not God's sternness or his holiness, but it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. See, there's something especially compelling about someone who is kind. Maybe that's why we're instructed, those of us who follow Jesus, to clothe ourselves with kindness and compassion. So one really great, as we're looking at ways to build relationships, one of the really great ways that we can do is that we can, on our part, show kindness to others. Find ways to be like the people on the island of Malta and show unusual kindness to the people in our lives. But if we show kindness to others, that will help us build relationships. I mentioned this was a unusual Father's Day. And one of the things that happened over the past couple of weeks is that Gloria Munn passed away. And I know Gloria is the great grandmother of some really great people in this room. And her legacy that she has left. I want to pull this out because I pulled this from her obituary. Gloria's family remembers her as someone who embodied a beautiful blend of kindness and conviction, a life that will continue to impact those who knew her for generations. Does that sound like Ruth? I think it does. And not only that, again, this is unusual because we're talking about a grandmother, a mother, a great-grandmother, but now I want to pull back before we end to my earliest relationship, the relationship with my dad. My dad is a man of unusual kindness. If you know my dad, you know that he is kind. Happy Father's Day, Dad. It's true. Thank you for your kindness. But that's one thing that was always consistently demonstrated in my home was a man who followed Jesus, and he did it through kindness. And lo and behold, I grew up, and I wanted to be a Christian. I wasn't repelled by it, because I saw a father who was kind, and kindness leads us to repentance, right? Kindness is so compelling. So thank you, Dad. Happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. So as we close up, and maybe you remember Gloria or my dad or somebody, or my friends Daniel and Aleem, and it's kind of crazy because I see Aleem very sporadically, but every time I do, it's like we're fast friends. We just like pick up right where no time is gone, because the kindness that he showed me early on in my life has been formative for me. But I want you to think of someone who has shown you kindness, and I want to close with this challenge. How will you show kindness to someone else in your life? How will you show kindness to the people in your life? How will you be a brother, sister, friend, son, daughter, father, mother, and show kindness to people in your life? Because it's the kindness that draws us, leads us to repentance, that draws us to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, who gave his life for us. How will you do it? Will you pray with me? The worship team, you can come up here. Heavenly Father, as we pause these few moments on this Father's Day, we thank you that we have a Father in heaven who we believe is good and kind, that your intentions toward us are good and kind. So help us to know the love of the Father that is patient and that is kind, and may that lead us to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to learn how to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness as we look to be people who are known for love. It's so hard to do, Lord, and we need your help to be known for the way that we love one another, the way that we show kindness. May the fruit of the Spirit be from our lives, and may you use us to bless generations behind us. Thank you for the ones who have come before us, and may those who come behind us see your faithfulness and kindness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.